everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. When I read the first few pages of my next guest book, I was floored, disturbed, and heartbroken. A beautiful family, promising career, and a segue into a life that should have been one of peace, joy, fulfillment, and with the promise of more, so much more. So what happened? What happened to take the life of NFL pro Grant Fiesel long before his time, and in a way that not only ravaged him, but his family, his marriage, and any future he had hoped to have? After 10 years, 117 games, and the skull-battering collisions he would incur as a center and long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks and others. Are you on the cusp of realizing the same tragedy in your own life or the life of one you love? Listen up as we welcome to Testimony author of her heart-wrenching memoir in collaboration with veteran co-author Mike Yorkey, After the Cheering Stops, an NFL wife's story of concussions, loss, and the faith that saw her through. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a pleasure indeed, widow of NFL great Grant Fiesel, Cindy Fiesel.
Thank you so much, Jensine. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Cindy, you lived the life most women dream of. Married with children, beautiful home, NFL pro, handsome, smart, compassionate, a dedicated Christian, respected by his peers, beloved by his family, and known throughout his community in Texas, where football is king, as a stellar stand-up guy in every way. However, all of that would change as the ravages of the game and a disease known as CTE would have its effect, and in shocking ways, only to be determined at the time of his death, only 52 years of age. Cindy Fiesel, please tell us that story.
Yes. Well, Grant and I met on a blind date in college, and he was tall and handsome and from California. I say he was a California kid. He was the tallest guy I'd ever seen at 6'7", and he was also smart, very smart. He taught himself how to play the guitar, and he loved poetry, and so I just thought he was a Renaissance man. And when I say every award, he won many, many sports awards, but also academic awards in college, and he was an academic All-American all 4 years of college, which was quite an accomplishment. He just was a great guy all the way around. He was a gentle giant, sweet, kind, loving, organized, you know, all the things that you would be looking for in somebody to marry. So he's just a great guy. We were fortunate enough to get a chance to play in the NFL. Not a lot of people get that opportunity, about 1%, and so weren't really planning on doing that, but as the year progressed, his senior year, we saw that scouts were coming, and there was, you know, it looked like a possibility. He was going to go to dental school, and I was going to be a teacher, and all of a sudden, everything just changed our senior year after he was drafted by the then Baltimore Colts. So we decided it was a door we needed to walk through, because not very many people get that opportunity.
Amen and amen. Now, you hid Grant's eventual addictions and the abuse of you from family, friends, church members. Why?
Well, I say that, you know, whenever you have addiction in the family, it's a sick family. And it's a family disease, not just the disease of the person that has it. I didn't understand that. I didn't have any coping skills with that because I didn't tell anyone, which is a whole other book someday that maybe I need to write about codependency. It's not good to be a codependent, but that's what I was for our entire marriage, covering up, hiding, all the things that you do, and then act like everything's perfect. I don't know why I did that, but for whatever reason I did, that was very detrimental to our family as well. Really not a good thing. So Grant started doing unusual things as his career progressed. He had a lot of injuries and continued to play, which many people do. It's not unusual. But at the end of his career, you know, he was coming in with little bags of pills. I didn't know what they were. He would have trouble sleeping and say they helped with sleeping and pain. And, you know, he was in a lot of pain. He said his neck burned, his back hurt, his knees hurt. He had ice bags on his knees all the time. So there was a, you know, a constant physical ailment that he had always. At the end of his career, he started bringing in alcohol, which was an unusual thing for us because we didn't have alcohol in the home. So he was bringing it in, drinking it, then taking it out to the dumpster and putting it, you know, putting it into the bag, taking it out to the dumpster. Very unusual behavior. That was one of the beginning signs of things that were deteriorating.
Right, and that was my next question. What were some of the signs? And when you noticed these signs, Cindy, did you confront him? And if yes, what was his reaction?
When he retired, he drank a bottle of Jack Daniels that night. And I remember saying, what in the world? You know, I knew something wasn't right then. Oh, you know, just a lot of aches and pains and, you know, it's his last game and we were going to go home the next day to Texas. And he also gave me a little box that night, a gift, and I opened it up. And when I did, I saw that it was the same ring that he had given me the year prior. I almost thought that he'd rewrapped the ring and given it back to me. And I said to him, this is the same ring that you gave me last year. And he said, really? And looked so perplexed. So, again, those were signs that things were not normal because he had a very sharp mind. He was an excellent football player, always knew what position to be in, and everybody else on the offensive line. He was a very, very smart player and a smart student when he was in school. And, again, this is just not normal behavior for him.
Right, right. And you strike me as the cheerleading type, a go-getter, positive, upbeat, a get-it-done gal, a get-it-done yesterday, as a matter of fact. So
Yes. It
seemed like a great team. He's on the field and you're cheerleading him on, but sometimes being a cheerleader isn't enough. You came to a place in your relationship where it got to be pretty devastating and abusive. I want to talk about that for a little bit right now. Often in abusive relationships, you talked about codependency. The one being battered shuts down. And in a family dynamic, that can cause others to shut down as well emotionally. Did you see this happening in your own family? And if yes, Cindy, what did you try to do to combat this downward spiral? Or was that even possible at this point?
Well, I was trying to control the drinking, pouring it out. You know, as fast as I could find it, I was pouring it out, which would just upset him. At one point, he bought a mini refrigerator and put in his closet with a padlock on it so that I couldn't get to it and pour it out. At one point, when I was in his closet, he came in and he was, you know, not happy with me because he says, you know, what are you doing? Always going through and rummaging through my closet and taking things out of my closet. And just gave me a shove, and when he did, he had a folding chair in there, and I fell over the folding chair, and I broke my fingernail, and I just was stunned. I mean, that was the first time anything like that had happened, and he turned around and walked out, and I was shaking, and I remember looking in the mirror in the bathroom and thinking to myself, did that just happen? It was so surreal. It was so out of character. It was, my heart was beating really fast and tears were coming down. And I thought, what do I do with this? I mean, who's going to believe me? Who's going to listen to this? I mean, everybody loves Grant. I had this picture that there would be nobody that would believe me. And so I just remember wiping my tears away and walking into the kitchen and continuing on with fixing dinner. And, you know, the kids were coming in and out, and we never spoke of it ever again.
Now, just a second. Cindy, where was your self-image in all of this? Why would they not believe you, Grant, could do something like this? What about your parents, your church, a close sister friend?
Well, and they would have. They would have. But for me, instead of saying anything, and that's part of my message with all of this, tell someone. I didn't tell anyone. I just kept it inside and thought that I could keep on sweeping things over and everything would be okay and continue to smile and act like it was, you know, the cheerleader. I'm an optimist, and so God was always in my life, but I say you've got to have a landline, you know, have someone that you can touch and they can hold your hand and agree with you. I wasn't in therapy at this point. I'd never even really thought about therapy or heard of it, to be honest with you. And I didn't feel like I could go tell my sisters. I thought, you know, that would just be a downer. You know, I felt like I couldn't be a downer. I couldn't. I don't know why. I'm saying, please tell someone in your family, tell a close friend, go to church, tell somebody in your Sunday school class, tell a pastor. There's so many things that you can do that I did not do. So that was my internal issues, and I'm begging anyone that's going through anything out there similar to this, please talk to someone.
Amen and amen. Now, journaling became, in your book, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Cindy Fiesel, author of The Heart-Wrenching After the Cheering Stops, which chronicles the life and the downfall of NFL great Grant Fiesel and his early death because of CTE and the abuses that were propagated by that in his own life. Now, you ended up in therapy, in counseling. You talk about your faith in God, how the Lord saw you through. Cindy, what about your children? How did they cope? And if yes, in what way?
Well, I did get in therapy, which I say, you know, that saved me, along with God, of course. But Christian therapy truly helped me, and the journaling started helping me process my thoughts and make things more clear. My story, unfortunately, the family story, it's not easy. It's hard for me to talk about it. I don't want to cry.
That's okay.
Grant and I did the best we could. He was a good dad, and I was the best mom that we could be in a brain-damaged, addictive home. And we didn't have any idea that he was brain-damaged our entire years together. It wasn't until after he died that we knew. We made sure that our children had everything they needed, as much love as possible, but sadly, CTE and Grant's brain trauma caused our family to fall apart in every way, and emotionally, financially, personally, and right now, it's terrible to say, but I am estranged from my three children. It's terrible to have to say that for anybody to hear. They're the most precious things in the world, and they're out of my life right now, and I love them, and I always will be their mom, and I'm just sorry for the way we've all suffered because of Grant's unknown brain injury. That's why I'm so passionate about sharing the story. I don't want any other family to go through what we've been through.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to author, artist, and widow of NFL great Grant Fiesel, Cindy Fiesel, on her just-released heart-wrenching memoir, When the Cheering Stops. You can learn more about Cindy's work, ministry, and mission by visiting afterthecheeringstops.com and get her book, Get Informed, and Get Hope and Help. The life of one you love may depend on it. Cindy, it has been a sobering and eye-opening time with you and our listeners today. We look forward to hearing much, much more in our next segment. God bless you.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. In our last segment, you heard the horrifying reality of one woman's journey to overcoming the pain of a broken marriage, a family torn apart, and the love of her life trapped and destroyed by the addictions that ravaged his body and the root cause, a disease known as CTE, that would propagate it all. Here to expound on this and more is author of her just released and heart-wrenching memoir, After the Cheering Stops, an NFL wife's story of concussions, loss, and the faith that would see her through. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, Cindy Fiesel. Cindy, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensen. I appreciate it so much.
Well, Cindy, when I initially heard about your story with the opportunity to help bring awareness, I was immediately reminded of the movie Concussion, starring Will Smith.
Yes.
Who plays a doctor on a mission to expose the link between repetitive head trauma incurred while playing football or other high-impact sports and the hidden disease known as CTE. For our audience today, since I cannot pronounce it, would you tell us what CTE is?
Yes, it is a disease, a degenerative brain disease. And it's a sport-related brain disease. Repeated blows to the head cause a degenerative brain disease. The longer someone plays, the more likely they're potentially going to have lifetime risks. We never knew this when Grant was alive. There's so much more evidence now about it and so much more research that's been done.
Right, and you've not only written a book that chronicles the life with your husband, Grant Fiesel, the love of your life, how it affected you, your children. It eventually robbed you of your marriage. You ended in divorce, and he died, I think it was 5 years ago, at the young age of 52. And you say in your book he was a shell of the man you married because of the effects of drinking, the addiction to prescription drugs. He had never been one to drink alcohol or take drugs of any kind. You're both strong Christians in a loving community, but this lethal combination of both would eventually take its toll, and you explain that in your book. Question: what are some of the signs of CTE, and what preventive measures can parents or listeners take?
I'm so glad that you asked that, because after Grant died and we got the diagnosis that he had CTE, I just started poring over information. I didn't realize that there were actually four stages of CTE, and Grant had the third stage. That doesn't mean that they're all not severe. They are. And they can also happen in children. It doesn't have to be someone that played in the NFL. I want all of the parents to understand this, that you have to be looking at the evidence that's going on right now in the young children that are playing the high-impact sports. Please, there's so much out. There's something in the news every day. When I got on the Mayo Clinic website, which is a great website for parents to look at for your children and for concussions and for CTE symptoms, I was just shocked. Difficulty thinking, impulsive behavior, depression, short-term memory loss, difficulty planning and carrying out tasks, emotional instability, substance abuse, irritability, depression, aggression, speech difficulties, motor impairment, vision or focus problems, trouble with smell, and dementia. I know that's a lengthy list, but I say it all because I want you to understand that after I read all of those, I literally fell back on the bed and started sobbing because it just was my life. It was Grant's life. I started seeing all of the stories that I had had in my mind that had happened over the years that didn't make sense to me. All of a sudden, my life journals, all the things that I'd written about were things that coincided with the CTE symptoms. I had no idea. And poor Grant, he used to say, Cindy, you have no idea what I'm going through. And we talk about it a lot in the book. He would say those things to me. And, you know, eventually I just got mad and sad because I couldn't understand. I had no clue what he was dealing with. And he even said that classic line that's on the book cover. It says, if I'd only known what I loved the most, it would end up killing me and taking away everything I loved, I would have never done it. Well, I believe he was talking about football. Because he loved us. He loved the kids, and he loved me. And if he'd known that all of these years of repetitive head hits and concussions would have caused him to die an early death, he was a smart man. He wouldn't have done it. I know he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have wanted our boys doing it either if he'd known the long-term effects that could happen from the concussions and the repetitive hits. Parents, please look at the evidence.
Amen and amen. And he was a goal setter, you said. Talk about that.
Well, Grant was just so smart, and he was so organized, and he knew what he wanted to do long-term. He wanted to be a dentist, and then just because he played longer than he thought was a good age to be a dentist, he said, you know, I think I'll just take the MCAT and see how I do with that. And he just did fabulous and was accepted into every medical school in the state of Texas. So not only dental school, but medical school. He was very goal-oriented, very driven. He wanted to be the best he could be. He wanted to take care of the kids, you know, in the best ways that he could, and me as well. He wanted to be, you know, the best football player that he could be. So he had high hopes and high goals and values about every part of his life.
He had everything going for him. Beautiful couple, beautiful family. You were the picture-perfect family. Yet in our last segment, you talked about the fact that you didn't talk about these things behind closed doors. You didn't talk about the fact that one day you would find Grant's hands around your throat, strangling you in front of neighbors, your children being frightened, you having to drive him to rehab because he couldn't even get out of bed to do so. Your book is so transparent and raw and real. Anyone reading it, it's a great, I'm sorry to say, sad read, but important and informative. Thank you for writing your book. I know this is going to save lives. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual warfare aspect of all of us as Christians. When we find ourselves in situations that are beyond our control, I'm reminded of the scripture that says that we don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities, powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. How important was that scripture to you in grabbing hold of Christ in your devastating situation?
Well, that was an important scripture to me, and so was Psalms 139, and so was Romans 8. We talk about it at length in the book of how my self-esteem and my life deteriorated along with Grant's, because, you know, it's not a healthy relationship when one of the partners is an addict. And so because Grant and I didn't have any communication, he wouldn't accept help for a long time and continued to deteriorate. Our physical relationship deteriorated as well. And so we weren't communicating in any way, which is just never good for a marriage, as you know. And so, you know, at great length in the book, it talks about the shortcomings that I had. And I just say again, you know, find someone that you can talk to, find a minister, find a friend, find a Sunday school class, find a Christian therapist. There are so many people that are willing and ready to help you with the problems that you're dealing with. And they can't come home and live with you, but they can give you advice and help guide you. And so I think because I left myself unprotected as far as, you know, getting the help that I needed like that, you know, it left me vulnerable and caused a lot of issues for me as well.
And it would. How were you able, Cindy, then, to make the, quote, mental shift from what was, could have been, to the harsh reality of your life with Grant at his lowest ebb? Was it therapy? Was it Jesus? Was it a combination of all of those factors? What does the listener need to hear from you? Last words of hope.
Well, it was, of course, God and Christian therapy. I say that those two things, you know, helped me at least save myself. And I'm saying that I let myself get way, way, way down to the point where I didn't know who was going to die first, Grant or I, because I had lost hope. And I just remember thinking, you know, what, should I just get in the pool and go to the deep end and never come up? I mean, you know, I know that God saved me. And I'm just so thankful that I got out and that I was able to see clear enough to save myself. But it was, you know, it's just so sad to leave. You know, I wasn't in a good mental condition because I say at the end in my book, I left my 18-year-old and drove away with nothing, really. A little bit of money, a box of pictures, a couple of suitcases. I mean, I mentally was not okay. I think I had a mental breakdown.
I couldn't take it anymore. It had just gotten so overwhelming and so overbearing, and Grant had gotten unmanageable. I mean, there does come a point in your relationship where you can't manage it anymore, and I had gotten there. And so I'm just saying that, you know, for people that feel like there's not any hope, just trust God that He's going to provide for you, and He's going to show you a way, and He has for me. And the beautiful thing I do want to say is that at the end of Grant's life, when we knew he was going to die, I was going to visit him every day. And one day when I was walking out, he said, "Hey, Cindy, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for everything that I've done." And, you know, he didn't have a lot of lucid thoughts in the end. And so I was just so thankful to hear him say that. And I turned back around and went in and got by him on the bed and hugged him and just said, "I'm sorry for everything I've done too." So I can just say this, that I have peace in knowing that we made amends before he died. And that's a great feeling. But more than anything, I have the peace in knowing that Grant is healed, set free. He's with God in heaven.
Amen and amen.
Am I still sad? Yes. Listen to my voice. There's not a day that goes by that I am not incredibly sad that he's not still here and that my family's not together. This isn't the way I wanted it to be.
I have a closing for this broadcast that I am going to read to you now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to author, artist, and widow of NFL great Grant Fiesel, Cindy Fiesel, her just-released memoir, When the Cheering Stops. You can learn more about Cindy's work, ministry, and mission by visiting afterthecheeringstops.com. Get her book, get informed, get hope, and most of all, get help. The life of one you love may depend on it. Cindy, it has been, indeed, a sobering, an eye-opening time with you and our listeners today. Yours is the story we hope never has to be written, but in your case, it did. And I'd like to think that God knew when He put you and your late beloved together, Cindy, that yours would be a story of true overcoming and courage in the midst of great devastation and loss. Your book, When the Cheering Stops, is a warning to help preserve life and a legacy of the truest kind, one that gives hope, redemption, and a call to action. You've done that, and beautifully so. Cindy Fiesel, we thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me today.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening. And please join us again for Testimony.